Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. Getting to the bottom of women and their feminine wiles. Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, you got to go to lovevictory.com to her website, and her book is called Smart Relationships, How Successful Women Can Find True Love. And Dr. Leslie Beth Wish joins us now to help us get to the bottom of a couple of things. Dr. Wish, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am lovely. I love your name. What ethnicity is a wish?
You know, that name, the first time it ever appeared in a document in medieval Europe was in France.
Ah, oui, oui. I love it. I thought you were going to say it was like your nom de plume.
No, it's a great last name, isn't it?
It really is, especially for your line of work. So, you know, we need your help because Jones, a single guy, affirmed bachelor, although he feels like there may be a tremor in the force, if you will.
I do.
This may be his year for love. We need to get him ready for that, Dr. Wish. What are women looking for, and how can he be prepared with your expert help to attract his mate in 2016?
Okay, well, here are some tips. They don't come necessarily from my research, but they do come from research that's been done recently, and there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about it. So let's see if these findings resonate with him and with your listeners. So, guys, you want to have good luck with women? Number one, don't come disheveled. Comb your hair,
unkempt.
Clean your fingernails.
Okay.
Iron your shirt.
I got that.
Yeah, he's very kept.
Why is that important? Why? Because what you are signaling to someone when you look disheveled is that you don't care about yourself.
Okay, so the females are looking for someone who is put together.
But couldn't it mean that you prioritize other things? You're a man about town. You have so many things going on. You are so powerful that it's okay to have your hair like Jim from Taxi.
Well, you know, that's a good point. You know, you don't want the extremes. You don't want some peacock guy coming around who struts around the place, but you don't want someone who looks like they rolled out of bed every single day.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Number one, I don't even think you own sweatpants, Jones. You're very put together at all times.
No, I do not own sweatpants.
Okay. All right. What else?
I don't like track pants.
No ripped T-shirts with holes in them, okay?
No, this guy, he's always dressed to the nines, doctor. So what else can he do?
Okay. Number two, the second thing that men and women agreed they didn't like in a partner was laziness.
Oh, this is where.
Uh-oh.
This is where I get tripped.
Hit a nerve. Hit a nerve. Okay.
Yeah.
Lazy. A procrastinator. Someone who, you know, fails to make the reservation and you show up at the restaurant and the line is so long that you have to wait and you can't get a table. Someone who doesn't call back.
Okay.
So laziness.
I see.
Laziness.
I would think.
Signals unreliability.
That doesn't create mystery, the no call back? What's he thinking?
You know, sure. Again, it's a matter of degrees. And you're right. Waiting a little bit and not calling the minute the car door slams, you want to wait till at least maybe the next day. But it's always a good idea to send even a text message or a quick phone message. Hi, had a great time. And that's especially important for women to do for their male dates, because there are three things that men don't like: rejection, rejection, and rejection.
Can I ask you a personal question, Doc?
Yes, sir.
Are you married?
Yes, I am, for a very happy long time.
And to a man?
Yes, to a man.
Okay, didn't want to spring that on you, but I do want to know, does that unnerve him that you probably know more? Does he ever feel like you're manipulating him with your insider knowledge, as not only as a woman, but also as a clinical psychotherapist?
No, he's also a psychologist. I was a very smart young lady. I married my boss. So, no, we don't talk in psychobabble to each other. We don't do that. He is very smart. So we're very well matched. And that's a very important feature. There are studies out there that say men don't like smart women. They're intimidated. But think about this. Don't you want your partner to be your wingman or your wingwoman? You want reliability. You want to trust that your partner, you know, doesn't get lost in a phone booth, if they even still have phone booths,
right,
lost in a corridor. So, you know, it's very important that your partner is someone you not only can rely on, but you can respect.
All right. So Jones is kempt. Jones is thoughtful. I think you said that, you know, you said lazy. It almost seemed like you were describing being considerate, thoughtful, but we'll go with all of those things. What is there a third thing that he needs to work on?
There are two more things that men and women agree on, and then I'll tell you the important things that they disagree on, and it has to do with sex. So the third one that men and women say they don't like is they don't want an emotionally needy partner.
The worst.
Oh, you know, it starts out, in my research, I found that the second kind of relationship that women like is someone with a man who seems to always be there for them, listen to them, sort of like a human teddy bear. And that sounds so good, but now exaggerate that. Imagine that your man or your woman is always there for you and clinging to you. Always there for you morphs into clinging. So this person who you thought understood everything about you ends up being someone who feels like an octopus around your neck. So if you have any questions about what your date might be like in the future, exaggerate all their behaviors. So neediness really gets to you.
Now, Dr. Wish, I do have a question. If I could lay some lines on you, because I think that's also been a stopping point as well. So,
like pickup lines?
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, you and I have bantered back and forth about the best way to make that introduction, as we were mentioning in the last segment. Mike has always presented to me like, dude, just go up to some woman and just throw out, what's your story?
Is that a bad one, doctor?
Well, I've done that, and I've not had great success.
Happened?
Well, I didn't have great success. It came off as very alpha, like I was challenging, like, what's your story? Like, explain yourself.
Yes.
So then,
what is the meaning of you?
Right. So then we tried to modify it a little bit, and Mike came up with, once we're talking about what she does, and then once they ask what I do, that I come back with, I'm the millionaire maker and bestower of dreams. Those two lines, the millionaire maker and bestower of dreams versus what's your story. I have a third option, but I'm curious what you think of those first two.
Please tell me you don't use those first two in real
life. I've used what's your story, and it's gone. It went over like the Hindenburg. And if you know about the Hindenburg, it didn't go over well.
In flames, that's right.
Yes.
Oh,
no.
The humanity.
Please tell me, oh, no, no, no. Okay, let's reverse it for a minute. What would you like a woman to say to you? Now, don't get smart, all right? What would you like
this
a woman
to say?
Jones.
What would I like a woman to say to me?
Yeah, she just flipped the script on you.
She did, but she's a doctor, and I am not a doctor, so that's not hard to do. God, that's a good question.
That's why she asked it. That's why she's written books about this stuff.
No,
it's
I
Jones
know.
And Mike on 720 WGN on with Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. And you have no answer to the clinical psychotherapist and author's
I don't
question.
Really, because I'm trying. Yeah, I really don't. I really don't have anything that I would like to be asked.
Is there a fail-proof line that you can offer him?
Okay, when I used to do singles groups, and we would practice what to say and what you would like, and I recommended, especially for the women, that they walk up to a guy and say, I'm not very good at this. I just got done in this workshop, and they said, I need to walk up to someone who interests me and who looks nice and intelligent, and that seems like you.
Okay.
So simple.
Now here's, okay, doctor, now we're going to the other line that when Mike and I were chatting a few days ago, I had created. I'm going to bust it on you.
Yeah,
in the
you
next
hang
segment.
For that? Can you hang around for a few minutes, Doc?
Sure.
And yeah, I'm going to bust this line on you, and I want to know what you think.
Oh, you've got it. Okay, you've got one that you think is going to be foolproof.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've worked on it.
All right, Dr. Leslie Beth Wish and the line to use next. Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. I'm with Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, clinical psychotherapist. clinical psychotherapist, author of the book Smart Relationships, How Successful Women Can Find True Love.
Dr. Beth. Dr. I'm sorry, Dr.
Right.
Leslie Beth Wish.
Yeah. Are you sitting down?
Okay, how can
this,
I help
doc?
You?
This is it. This is the line.
Okay, go ahead. You're on now.
I don't talk to women. And women don't talk to me. But I'd love to know, what's your story?
Thumbs up or thumbs down on that, Doc?
I think that's a thumbs down.
Oh, come on! We were working on that!
That's terrible.
I think that's a... How about this one? Okay? Okay, how about this one? No, come on, please tell me that you're joking, because no.
See, the funny part is, Dr. Beth...
Please.
We thought that was a great line. We talked. We genuinely, the what's your story, Mike got me to use. I've used the what's your story. And the I don't talk to women and women don't talk to me, but I'd love to know what's your story. Mike and I confabbed about it and thought it was brilliant. We genuinely thought we were like, that is an awesome intro.
You're halfway there. You're halfway there, okay? Because the idea I don't usually talk to women is not too bad, but it depends what the setting is. You know, when you say something like that, I think what you're trying to do is tell someone, I'm not laying a line on you. But on the other hand, it sounds like I'm not a very confident guy. So women don't like guys who aren't too confident. So what about try this? Hi, my name is, and I've learned this from a recent guest on my radio show.
Ooh.
And awesome. And I've been told, just, you know, what am I looking for? And you just have a way of looking very nice and smart, and you have a nice way about you, so I thought I'd introduce myself.
Can I just cut to the chase and just, not cut to the chase, but could I just, like, chop it down and just say, I have a radio show, what are you doing later? Like, is that the...
No.
God!
Yeah.
Just trying to make it quicker.
Yeah, radio, it's not that cool.
No,
it ain't
no,
cool.
No. Just your... People like anything... that announces who they are. So if they have a woman would have an instant take, okay, this guy's got a job, and it's a pretty good-sounding job. So it calms them down. They don't think to themselves, okay, what's this guy about? So you might want to say something like, you know, I learned from one of my guests on my radio show, be genuine when you meet women, and I want to tell you that you just have a nice air about you. You seem smart and nice, so I want to introduce myself.
Yeah, the best answer is the simplest answer, and what you're saying on its face seems simple, but it's so simple that I don't think most people think about it. They think, oh, I have to have a line. I have to have something witty or pithy.
No, don't be. Don't. Oh, gosh. That gives me a sickening feeling. No, you don't want to do that. And the women in my singles group said they don't like that either. It puts them on guard. They don't want to be more on guard than they already are. They're there because... most of the people are there at these bars and places or wherever talking to people who they're interested in because, believe it or not, men do want to fall in love. They want to find someone.
Can you meet a nice woman in a bar, Doc?
Yes, you can.
You can?
Absolutely. Yes, you can.
All right.
Now, Dr. Wish, is this just, we've been talking a lot about the singles perspective, but can these be issues that married folk, a.k.a. Mike Noonan, have to
how
work
can you
through.
Help me,
I know,
doctor.
Mike has it easy in his love life, but still.
And how do I keep the spark alive after 25 years, doctor?
Okay, that goes to the question of the study that came out. Let's go to the issue about men and women's different views of sex, because that applies to both single and married people, or coupled people. Okay, so men complain that they don't like when their partner has a low sex drive and is no longer interested in sex. So that applies to dating couples and you know, long-term coupled couples. Women's complaint is they don't find that the sex they're getting is very good.
Oh, man.
This is where I just stay quiet.
I think the rubber just hit the road right there.
So what does that mean? Well, men don't like to feel that they're rejected. And at the core, they feel that they have a partner who has low sex drive and doesn't take responsibility for it. They feel rejected. You know, don't you like me enough to take charge of your low sex drive? You know, and is it me? Because sometimes sex is one of the things that couples use to hurt and punish each other emotionally. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to be careful of that, too. So sometimes that's a signal that something's wrong. And so my word out to both sexes is, if you do the ask and tell technique, you won't have these problems lasting for a long time. If something's wrong, speak up. If you think something's wrong on your partner, ask them, hey, we haven't had sex in a while. Is something wrong or anything wrong?
Yeah. It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN on with Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, author of the book Smart Relationships, How Successful Women Can Find True Love. What you're saying about what you just said was that women are using sex to be the driver of the relationship.
Well, most women have the emotional management responsibility for the relationship. Not all, because there are tons of women who, you know, sort of like get remote and clam up and don't talk about what's wrong. But in general, they do. And it's always important to find out, are we using sex as a way to communicate that something's wrong? So that's not good. But what is this thing about women complaining about bad sex? Why does that bother them so much? You know, sex is not just sex. Sex is a way to feel loved and special. And when a man doesn't add the tender, loving care to sex, you know, when it's always, you know, the goal is to have the sex.
Mike.
Well,
so
okay.
Let me answer your question about how to put the spark back in your relationship.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, it doesn't always have to do with sex. One of the things that long-term couples do who are smart is that on a regular basis, they do something new. And the reason that that adds the spark back is that doing something different, and it can be something as small as going to a restaurant or a movie that you never would typically go to. When you do something new as a couple, it adds a little bit of anxiety, and it creates a subconscious bond between the two of you, sort of like, hey, we're in this together. So the more you do short excursion somewhere, you know, like a weekend trip or an overnight somewhere, it adds a sense of specialness, newness, and hey, we're really a team.
God, it sounds so expensive. Is there anything cheaper you got for me, Doc?
It doesn't have to be. You know, a day trip, driving somewhere, or going to a different museum, going to see the kind of movie you normally wouldn't see.
Chirac.
Meeting people that you haven't seen before, and afterwards the two of you can say, what did you think of them? And you laugh and you bond, and that is the important thing that builds the relationship.
I'm working on a theory here, Doctor. Let me know if I'm on the right track or not. You've seen Seinfeld, you know, the episode about being the master of your domain. Do you know what I'm referring to?
I don't know
to?
That.
Oh, you don't know
I
that
don't
one?
I don't know that specific
this
one.
This is where it gets
no,
awkward.
Yeah. I'm hoping that if you're the master of your domain, that will elicit a physiological response in your body, which will, it's kind of like when you're suffering from hypothermia and all the blood rushes to your organs. And because all hands on deck on the organs, they got to jettison the fingers first, then the hands and the toes and the feet and the arms and the legs. I'm hoping that by being the master of my domain, that I will elicit a physiological response in my body subconsciously. I can't increase my pheromones, but somehow my body will take over and my wife will find me more attractive. Do you understand what I'm saying? On any level, Doctor? Is there a way that I can
dream on
alter my behavior in order to make my body become more attractive to my wife?
Uh-oh.
Is this possible?
Not attractive. Is it possible? Well, you know, the mind can do just about anything if you need it to, but I think you're in troubled waters here.
Oh, no.
So what would you suggest then? Because this is something that he really is committing to. He announced this to me a week ago. Mm-hmm. Oddly, I do have to say, the week that our old high school dean of discipline died, mm-hmm. you also made the same announcement mm-hmm. that you were going to make this sexual disciplined behavior central to your life. I do think there's a weird connection.
Like a Shaolin monk, I'm going to display discipline, heretofore unseen in most American men.
And how do you think you're going to do that? What's your goal?
I want to leave myself alone in order to make my body be like a magnet to my wife. Because saying the lines aren't working. Something else has to give here.
So what are you doing that's nice for your wife that is non-sexual?
Yeah, yeah. I take care of children. I take care of children. We share, you know, domicile responsibilities. I'm not that bad, right, Jones?
No, I think you're pretty good.
You'd marry me, right?
That's important. That's important. You know, one of women's number one complaints about their husbands is that they don't share in family responsibilities. Do you do little nice errands for your wife? Do you run her, you know, do you fill her gas tank? Do you buy her little things? Do you pick up something at the store that you think she might like? That goes a long way.
Okay, that's a good tip. I think you just gave me a tip, Doc.
Do you watch TV shows that she likes with her?
All the time. And I even rub her feet while we do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome,
good
right?
Good boy.
UFC,
good boy.
All
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. Hawks games.
So what's getting in the way? What's wrong here?
I don't know. I think I need your book.
How old are your kids?
Between 13 and 4.
And how many do you have?
4.
And does your wife have all that responsibility during the day to take care of them?
Nope. Nope.
Okay. And is she the chauffeur, the only chauffeur?
Nope. Not at all.
No.
Hey, good. Hey, you're on the right road here. Okay. So what's missing?
It's, all right, so this concept of the cookie, Doc, can you quickly tell me about the cookie and the lion? Jones has been watching your videos on YouTube.
Okay.
They're
That's
awesome.
Great. Yes, well, what happens to women, this is what I've discovered in my own research, that the two most common dating patterns that women get into is that they're usually attracted to a very exciting man, and there's nothing wrong with that. They like a man of authority, a man with a good job, often some prominence, some degree of competency in his professional life, and that's appealing because that person is reliable. What happens is the women aren't good at reading men, and they misread these men authoritarian style. They read it as a sense of authority. So a commanding man often ends up as a man who wants to command the life of a woman. And so the woman comes away from that relationship after she breaks up and says, I'm never going out with that kind of guy again. And she overcorrects her previous pattern, and she chooses the guy who she can say everything to. I mentioned that before earlier in this show, the guy who can listen. And that sounds so appealing, but what happens is this guy can only do that. This is the kind of person who often shies away from disagreements. This is not the guy you want to go with you to go bargain for a car. He's afraid of conflict. And
All right.
after a while, the woman feels she's caring too much of the relationship. So what does she do again? She overcorrects again and says, okay, I learned my lesson on that one. Yeah. I'm going to go back to finding the commanding man. And she goes back and forth.
All
Not
right.
a good idea.
I learned something. Jones, are you ready for cocktail party season now?
I think I'm ready.
Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, thanks for joining us. Smart Relationships, How Successful Women Can Find True Love is the book. You're the best, Doc. Thanks so much.